Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
That is too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
This is a puck.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
PP Herder.
Blood Puddle.
First Circus.
Steven Ricker's Testicles.
He butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No, no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli.
Filippalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And now on 96.9 FM WYIR, it is Iceman Insights, usually starring Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster of IcemanManiacs.com, but not today.
I'm just window dressing this week.
Today we are bringing in the superstars. Or superstars. And who knows what else?
Wait, is it Zuper Troopers? That's what you called them a couple weeks ago.
I did call them Zuper Troopers. But we're going to find out because Bridget McDonald, head of promotions for the Evansville Iceman, joins us in studio, pre-living it with us here on a Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Bridget, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I am fantastic. Are you, like, everyone around this town is all excited for Iceman hockey. It's sickening. It's like since April on Facebook, I miss hockey. I miss hockey. Let's post pictures of goaltenders. I miss hockey. And but for those that work in the business, Saturday night looms large. And are you ready for hockey?
Whenever I get asked this question the week of home opener, I always say I'm ready for it to be over.
Yes.
It's a lot of work this week. It's a lot of work. So I'm not ready, but I will be.
It's the culmination of an entire summer.
Yes, it is.
People think you just like throw together game day on game day.
They do. I mean, I could retire if I got a dollar every time somebody asked, what do you do during the summer? Working. Yeah. We got 36 games to plan.
There's almost more work goes on during the summer than during the season.
It's true. Very true.
Indeed. Michael Shockley joins us here on Iceman Insights. I am Derek Benigni, Bridget McDonald. And why don't you tell us a little bit about like what your actual title is and the fact that you've been with the Iceman now. Is it 7 years or eight?
I believe we're starting
This is
seven.
Eight.
Is it?
This is our eighth season.
Oh. So and you've been here since from day one. Beginning.
I have, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your job and all the fun that you have.
Yeah, it's a long one, so brace yourselves. It's Bridget McDonald, Director of Marketing and Game Day Operations. So basically that means I buy all of our advertising, place our advertising through an ad agency. I don't do it all on my own, but I work with Lionfish Advertising. And then I also plan game days. So I'm doing the intermissions, booking the anthems, any promotions, jersey designs, all of that sort of fun stuff really that goes on in the game. So
the summers are rough. The summers are when you tear down everything that you did last year. Yep. What worked, what didn't work, what did people like, and what the heck does that even mean? What do people like? Because anything you do, half the people love it and half the people hate it. And yep. And there's three people that hate everything, and they email everybody from the owner on down. So somehow Bridget has to make everyone happy and enjoy all 36 games, or else they're not renewing their season tickets.
Right.
That is the threat on the Iceman Maniacs, That place, that's all class,
Facebook.
Iceman Maniacs. It's Iceman that darn
Facebook.
Asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Maniac Asylum is where the crazies are.
Indeed.
And the scary thing is the asylum's not even the craziest of the crazies.
Really?
Yeah.
There's another one even crazier?
Well, I mean, not a Facebook group. There's some really crazy people who aren't even in the asylum.
Because we kicked them out. But anyways, go ahead, Michael Shock.
So having said that a lot of work happens during the off season, what is your typical game day? Say if we have a 7:15 game on a Saturday night, what time do you get in? What time do you leave? What does your day look like leading up to the game?
So basically just kind of on it, I'm going to give you a Saturday perspective, 7:15 game. I'm going to get into the office probably on Saturday around noon. And all my scripts and stuff are already going to be done by then, but I'm there for those last minute ticket people. And we do a game day meeting at 3 o'clock where we just kind of do our final overview of all the groups that are coming out, all the pregame stuff that we have going on. And then after three, then it goes into setting up the building, which the building does mostly for us. But it's getting out all the game day props and all of that sort of thing. The game's going on, actually, like during the actual periods is kind of downtime for me. That's when I can kind of sit back and take a breath. And then after the game, we're probably there about half an hour. Jen's there longer than most of us, though, because the store's open. Mm. So we're there about half hour, 45 minutes post game, and then we're home. And then Sunday, I'm going to feel like I was hit by a Mack truck because the staff, believe it or not, has to get in game day shape, too, just like the players. And that takes a couple of games. So that's what a Saturday looks like for me.
Yeah, it's a lot of time on your feet. There's always one or six minor fiascos that need to be dealt with. It just doesn't ever stop. And you just think about that. That's a day. You start at noon. The game typically gets over 9:30, 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You're there a half an hour afterwards. Yep. I mean, that's a good 10.5 hour, 11-hour day. Yep. And then once the season gets cooking, you're doing it Friday, Saturday, Saturday night into Sunday afternoon.
Yep, absolutely.
And then, of course, nothing against Ron Gary, but on your weeknight games that start at, they used to start at 7:15, and we'll talk about the new time. But you don't get to come in at noon on a weekday.
Yeah,
that's
no,
a typical business day. So that's 9 to 5, and then right into the game setup.
I think there's a point this year. I know there was a point last year where it was like 19 days in a row where we were working because we had like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I'm going to spill a little bit of a secret, but when I was on maternity leave, I looked at the schedule, and we were ending like a 13 day in a row period towards the end of my maternity leave, so I stretched it an extra week so I didn't have to all of that.
So when there's a Saturday and a Sunday game, it's not like you get two of those weekdays off to make up for it. Just work straight through.
And you
mentioned you have to get in game day shape. That really is an issue when you're walking and standing the whole time.
Yep.
Like when we were at Swander and I was doing that at every game and standing through every game, it is after a while you sort of get used to it. It's like your feet get calloused to standing on concrete all night.
Yeah, especially in heels.
But now, I only did that every now and then. Yeah. But now it's
on
like
a special night.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now it's like I did the music for the Guns N' Roses game on Saturday, and it was like the end of the first period, and I'm standing there thinking, I can't feel my feet.
Yeah.
I'm out of standing for 3 hours on concrete shape.
It's absolutely like every single Sunday, I always say Sunday because we always open on a Saturday, I feel like I rather went out and got completely wasted the night before or got hit by a truck because I just wake up feeling awful.
What's more fun though, working a game or getting wasted on a Saturday night?
It's probably a game. It's maybe safer at least.
Well, and nothing against the Ford Center. We all love the Ford Center, but they designed that fantastic structure with 1.5 elevators. So if you need to get anywhere, most of the time you're using the staircase.
Yep,
you know,
absolutely.
When I broadcast there, when I was an off-ice official, I always used the staircases because I didn't have time to wait to get an elevator.
Yeah, absolutely. When you get that many people in there, it's hard to get around, especially in a big hurry like we are in sometimes. So if I accidentally bump into you or whatever, I apologize in advance.
When I was doing stats up in the press box every game, at the end of every period, I had to make copies of what I'd done, run all the way down to the locker room, and then run all the way back. And I mean run.
Yep.
Because, there's no time to wait on the elevators.
Right.
And, whew, it's tough.
Yep. Yep.
I think Steven Rickards talked about before about how much he walks. He actually had a pedometer on one night and figured out how it was miles.
It was miles, yeah. And he does a lot more walking than I do. I try to stay in.
But he's not in heels.
That's true.
God, I hope he's not.
I don't know. We'll verify
that. We'll see. We'll see.
Depends on how many Swedes he's been around lately.
Well, we could get some sort of heels promotion going for him.
Ooh, hockey in heels.
Hockey in heels.
Ooh, I think we're onto something.
I like it.
He's going to hate us for this.
So I just see the logo of like a tater inside a five-inch stiletto.
So how often do you and the staff meet with the Ford Center people?
Once a week. Every Tuesday at 11 o'clock, we are in a meeting.
So you're sorting out Jumbotron stuff and promotions?
Yeah, most of the Jumbotron stuff is done just me kind of exclusively. We do all that pregame, and then if there's any issues, I'll meet with Jeff separately. But every Tuesday at 11, we meet with the entire staff, and we give them what our needs are that game, what the promotion's going to be, all that kind of stuff, what they need from us. Those meetings started a couple of weeks ago already, so
cool.
Once a week.
So of all the things you do, what's the biggest single challenge that you can say on the radio? Without losing a season ticket holder.
Or naming names.
You could just say it was Derek, but he's not an employee anymore.
I really would say Derek was one of the easy ones, though. He's fine.
So you're saying he's easy?
That's probably true.
I did not say that. You know, honestly, it probably is. I don't want to say dealing with the fans, because that's the wrong way of saying it, but gauging the fans' response to something is probably the toughest thing. Because as much as, yes, it is a hockey game, we try to make it so there's enough there for the whole family. So even a non-hockey fan's going to have enough fun at one of our games. So I would say gauging that is a pretty big challenge, because you're dealing with hockey fans, and then you're dealing with the casual fan, and how do
and
you keep them
everyone
happy?
From 5 years old to 90 years old. I know, like, we kind of make jokes about them, but the superstars is one of the toughest issues, because I saw him once, laughed, and then after that, as a 45-year-old grumpy, easy man, I was done with it. My daughter, every time she's got her pocket schedule and she knows when the superstars are coming, Dad, we got to go. Yep. You have to take me. This is not a date night with you and Mommy. I have to see the superstars. And she loves them, and she wants to see them every night. Yep. So
I'm the same way. I'm over the superstars. Yeah. Ron Gary is not.
So what you're saying is Ron Gary is a five-year-old?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I am not saying Ron. I am saying Ron Gary loves the five-year-old opinion. And so he signs my check in, so he
what he says goes.
Yes, and it's become a tradition, actually. I mean, we've had the superstars here for the home finale every single year that we've been a AA team, so now it's just turned into a tradition.
Nice.
Yeah,
so that's why the superstars
but on a related note, what about the First Circus? I saw they're not on the schedule this year.
They are not. We're just
that's one of our favorites on this show.
Is it?
Well, the name is.
The name is. The act, not so much.
Yeah, they. I think they're a great act, but again, we've had them here for 2 years, so let's take a break. They're not one of Ron's favorites. So we can take a break from the First Circus. But they're a good group. I've gotten to know a couple of those guys pretty well over the past couple of years.
Where are they based out of?
Atlanta.
But the superstars are Louisville, right?
Yes.
So they're that's a nice, easy drive.
Yes. Yeah, they can make it in one day. So, yeah.
Hmm. You want to get into the schedule now?
Yeah, we can look at some of the promotions. So we'll get to opening night in a minute, but coming up a week after opening night, October 24th against Toledo, it's Back to the Future night.
It is.
How awesome are those jerseys?
I don't know. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
Do you like them? Yeah, okay.
They posted them on Facebook.
Yeah, I've got to tell you how this night came about, so everybody doesn't think that we just pulled it out. Back to the Future 2, Marty goes back to October 21st, 2015. And so that's kind of where the idea came from. Travis came to me. He's like, we should do a Back to the Future night. So we did. Those jerseys are pretty.
There is a certain ECHL official, a.k.a. Man Crush.
Oh, really?
That has mandated that I get him one. So
does he know how much these things go for?
This is bothering me.
It doesn't bother him.
You tell me off air.
Okay.
Who this is.
Yep.
I really need to know.
You would know him. He's been around as long as you've been around doing the games.
He used to work Swander games in the AHA days.
As a referee.
Yeah.
So
I think she just figured it out.
I did just figure it out. Yeah. I still remember that comment he made to Ryan Ford, I believe, if I'm thinking the right one.
Maybe.
Off air, we'll talk about
it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a story for overtime, which we're not doing this week. So after Back to the Future night, probably my favorite, one of my favorites every year, Education Day,
and
November 4th.
I'm conflicted because I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it.
Yeah.
Because I actually...
You have a big boy job
now. I do have a big boy job, and I don't know if I can get off that.
You got to get the soupy flu that day.
Yeah.
We'll
or
see.
Do like Bridget and say you're on maternity leave.
Yeah.
There you go. Just take maternity leave. It's fine. Education Day is... It's one of those games that I have a love-hate relationship with.
Yep.
Because I hate getting up early, but it's so... There's no describing Education Day. You have to experience that. Like, you try to explain Education Day in the volume
and the
loudness.
Pitch.
Yep. Yes, because you say it's like the loudest you've ever been in a game, and people just don't understand. It's the pitch that is just amazing. Just seeing those kids come out for a night or for a day, and they're having such a good time. It's a love-hate relationship, but
it is awesome.
Logistically, it's got to be a nightmare.
There is a lot of buses.
And you know what? To be completely honest, the Evansville Police Department takes care of a majority of that for us. So we really don't like that because they're the ones that close down all the roads and do all the parking. And we've already met with them actually to kind of go over all that. It is logistically a nightmare for us though too, because we do have to work in conjunction with them, especially when we're releasing those students. But the EPD does a lot for us on that game too.
I think my favorite thing about Education Day is seeing all those school buses parked.
Yeah.
You can't look out a window of the building without seeing umpteen school buses. And it's only on Education Day. You never get that any other day.
Right. It's a good visual.
So we move forward November 21st against Kalamazoo, Prostate Cancer Awareness Night, and Miracle on Ice Olympian Dave Christian will be making an appearance. And specialty jerseys that night?
Yes.
Please tell me they don't have a polyp on them.
They
like
don't.
The Otters do.
They don't.
I can't deal with that polyp game at the Otters game.
Yeah.
It's just this, like, they can feel it in my nether region when they're plucking those polyps off of
well,
there.
Well, you're supposed to drink before that.
They do not have any polyps. It's basically kind of an old school Iceman jersey, really, where it's just the baby. We go back to the baby blue, mostly white baby blue. We just got them worked on just this past week and just all approved. So it's kind of in conjunction with the the Movember, the beer.
Yep. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yep.
So we're kind of doing it in conjunction with that with Deaconess this year.
So is the Dave Christian appearance tied into the prostate cancer anyway, or is it just sort of two separate things that happen to fall on the same night?
It's Deaconess wanted to bring in somebody to kind of boost the night and get extra promotion for it. So that's how it happened. Actually, we were going to bring in the Hanson brothers, and we had them booked. But then they ended up not being it. I think Steve was unable to make it because his son has something going on. So we went with that.
That's something to bank away, though, for the future.
Any night,
if you can get the Hanson brothers,
that'd be awesome. This is actually our second year in a row trying to get them.
They're sort of in high demand.
Yeah, I know. Well, and you know, Jim Riggs, our COO, Steve, I don't know his last name, but Steve was Jim's coach in Memphis. Jim actually knows him personally, and it was actually, according to Jim, his idea to get the Hanson brothers together to do their stitch, their whatever.
Shtick.
Yes.
I like Stitch. Stitch is actually fitting with them.
Yes.
So that's the story behind that. So even with Jim in our corner, we've still failed to get him 2 years in a row.
He just needs to work harder.
That's what I'll tell him.
December 4th against the Comets, Mascot Night in celebration of Blizzard's birthday, and I heard something about Blizzard bobbleheads.
Yes, we're doing Blizzard bobbleheads that night.
That's pretty awesome.
It would be cool if, like, the Blizzard bobblehead had a moving fist so that you could knock Josh Beaulieu's bobblehead tooth out.
Rock'em sock'em bobblehead?
Yeah, that would be cool.
We did not plan that, but...
If we ever have an enforcer that everybody loves, we should do not bobbleheads, but bobble fists.
Yep. They did a bobble fist for Biz Nasty, I think, in Wheeling. Yeah. Huh. I think they did do a bobble fist.
Into that. We just, and on that night, I think we're going to be partnering with Donate Life, Indiana Donate Life as well. For the organ donation portion. So that's going to be added.
So do we know, are the bobbleheads, is it kids only, all adults, season ticket holders? Who gets them? Do you know?
I think it's everybody.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Saturday, December 19th, right around Christmas. And I know this is Michael Shockley's favorite event always and everywhere, but it's the teddy bear toss. And just such a fantastic way to give back to the community and to watch something really cool and to see them get stuck in the netting and everything else.
And to see
and
the staff
see that
get
one
hit.
Show up 7 minutes later because it goes from old lady to old lady and finally over the glass.
I love teddy bear toss. It's probably one of my favorites too. We've been doing this since the Swander days. The things like
when everybody had to throw them over the netting.
Exactly. And what I don't like about teddy bear toss is getting hit in the head with these bears. Poor Thomas 1 year got hit in the head with one that had a battery pack in it.
Oh.
So that is why we asked that we don't have battery packs in the bears anymore. But I love it. It's a good visual. It's for a great cause, and it's a lot of fun.
Talk about the logistics of the cleanup.
Oh, my gosh. That one will – that's a headache.
You got to have people on call because you don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So we pull all our staff pretty much from all their areas and have one person manning everything. And we're all just down there in corners just waiting on that goal, praying that it doesn't happen within the first 7 minutes. Because if that ice isn't cut up yet, then it's a little dangerous for us. And a lot of us have fallen out there. So we're always just sitting there being like, please, just in the first 7 minutes, just wait till after that.
But you don't want it to be late in the third period either.
Yeah, which
because
luckily,
then you're waiting all night.
Right. And luckily, we haven't ran into that yet. So,
now it's going to happen this
year. I know,
year.
We're all knocking on wood.
It's all Bridget's fault.
New Year's Eve comes up. Always fantastic. Growing up in Detroit, the Red Wings always played New Year's Eve. It was kind of the special thing. We'd always watch the game or go to the game, and I've always been excited that the Icemen have done it as well, especially since you can't do anything for Thanksgiving because you're kicked out of town.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
It works out well.
True. What do you think of the fireworks?
I didn't get to. I was out of town last year, so I didn't get to.
What'd you think?
We didn't get to stick around for him either because Evan's not a fan of loud noises in enclosed places.
Oh, I did hear everyone I talked to raved about.
Yeah,
them.
So I saw the video online and it looked awesome.
Okay, we're bringing them back again this year because that was what we got to was that everybody loved them and we thought it's New Year's. Our game gets over at 10:30. How can we keep people in the building a little bit longer? Hopefully downtown a little bit longer. That guy that does those fireworks is amazing. Like he does a lot of the pyros for the rock groups and stuff like that. So
you know what would make it even awesomer?
Awesomer.
Yes. That is a word on this show at least. Let everyone stick around after the fireworks and show the ball drop in New York on the scoreboard.
Good idea.
And everybody could count down
and
spend a couple more hours drinking.
Right?
Or
if Billy doesn't kick us out.
Do the one in New York and do it at 11.
Yeah.
If it then you can maybe let
a little
everyone
bit
out
closer.
At 11 and then they can
right.
So like the true New Year's which
yeah.
is at midnight central time.
We will look into it. We have plenty of time. We can look into that. It's
awesome.
A good idea.
Got a couple of great nights coming up. You got Star Wars night up in January and then Disney and Marvel night in February, and boy, that's gonna be a tough one for my daughter because she will probably come as Elsa, the Avenger, wearing a cape and have a bow and arrow or something.
Iron Man
so,
Elsa.
Yeah, Iron Man Elsa.
No, those are both going to be really fun nights. Star Wars, we're going to do that with a jersey this year. Not the first time, but it's been a while since we've done a Star Wars night with a jersey. There's no explaining that game.
It's like Education Day.
Yeah, it's just people just show up. And then Disney night and Marvel night, it was pretty successful. Superheroes night was pretty successful for us last year. So we'll try it again this year, and we'll just throw it in with the princesses that way.
Let everyone do whatever they want to do. There's another Rickard high heel night.
Oh.
There you go. He can be a princess.
He could.
Paint the Rink weekend with ice painting. I was going to ask, were you planning on painting the ice again? Because I know that went over really
well
last
really
year.
That was
really cool. Yeah. Yeah, that was actually, believe it or not, really emotional. I wasn't expecting it to be as emotional as what it was, but it was a pretty emotional night. So we're going to turn it into an entire weekend. We're doing jerseys again And we're going to be wearing them both Friday and Saturday, with the auction just being on Saturday night. So we raised quite a bit of money for Susan G. Komen last year, and hopefully we can do it again, because that was cool. That was
so
just cool.
So the jerseys are both nights. Friday night after the game is when they actually go out and paint the ice, and then Saturday night is the auction.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's really cool. I was pleasantly surprised to see how many people took part in it last year.
Yeah.
And it goes a long way to show you how many people are touched by breast cancer.
Right.
And cancer in general. Yeah. But I when that was announced, my worry was, well, we don't always have big crowds on Friday nights.
Yeah.
Is it going to look really lame if only 50 people go out there?
Yeah.
But the ice was covered.
Well, and that was kind of our fear and worry too. And we just thought, you know, we've got to try it and see how it does. And if there's only 50 people out there, then us as a staff will stay out as late as we need to fill it up. But it worked really well. And I think part of it too was communicating the process, because that's kind of a hard process to be like, no, you need to come Friday to paint, and then they play Saturday. So, hopefully this year it's a little bit easier and we get more people out there.
But in a way, it's genius, because if they come Friday, then they're going to want to come again on Saturday.
How about that?
See?
Yeah.
So
it's that marketing.
Look at that marketing.
I remember that. I took that class twice.
What You're on to something there, Shockley.
Yeah.
What the heck are baby races?
I don't know.
March 12th.
We're going to find out.
Is that a Brian Vall creation?
It's not. Well, I don't remember, actually. Colorado did this last year, and it was a pretty successful night for them. So I've got to call those folks and figure out how they did it. We're going to try it. I don't know.
On that similar note, we need to do what Cincinnati's doing and do wiener dog races.
Okay.
Get the paws and pucks people out there.
There's a story with why we haven't. It's I'm asked to do it for the past 2 years, and I have a wiener dog and she ruptured a disc because she was running and ruptured a disc. So I'm terrified that one of those dogs is going to get out there and get hurt as a wiener dog owner. So
I'll save the wieners.
Yes.
So we're
gonna, I got it in.
We're going to do some green ice on St. Paddy's Day. Oh, goodness. Do I have to stop the recording? Lost it.
Yes, green ice
usually
on St. Paddy's Day.
Usually it's me. Should I just throw in a couple of casual broken penis right here?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Lip
you
lie.
You can edit that out, right? You can edit that out.
No, I'm not. That's keeper. So St. Patrick's Day, green ice this year?
Yep.
Any thoughts?
Nope.
All right.
We're just going to do green ice and see how it goes. I mean, the league requires us to submit so many weekday games, and we saw that St. Patrick's Day was on a Thursday, so we thought, why not try it?
Yeah,
so
awesome.
That way
Ditto
we're not
with
really
New Year's Eve.
It.
It's like that's what happens to fall on a weekday this
Well,
year,
that
so.
Doesn't count as a week or a weeknight because it's a holiday.
Ah.
So there's all
rules.
These leagues, they've got all these stipulations on what's a weekday, weekend, blah, blah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
April 1st against the Cyclones, something new this year. I think it's new. It might have been done
new.
In some form. Autism
nope.
Awareness
it's
Night.
New.
This is really cool.
Yeah, we it's all the way in April, so to be completely honest, we haven't figured out exactly what we're doing there yet. But I know that Lance is working with some local autism groups. I think Inspire's one of them to figure out what we can do to get the awareness out there, help them raise some money, some funds, and yeah.
Awesome.
We'll see how that one goes. I'm sure by April we'll have it figured out.
Well, that just means we'll have to have you back sometime around Christmas or January, and then we can talk about the second half of the season.
There you go.
But,
good. That works.
But we wrap it up, the home finale, April 2nd against Tulsa.
I feel like I've already gone through the whole season
already. It's almost over.
Yeah.
Fan Appreciation Night, the Superstars, U-Stick giveaway. That U-Stick giveaway is something cool that's becoming every year thing, too.
Yeah, TRCI is probably one of their favorite things that they do, along with the youth jerseys that they do, too. It's a really good giveaway. I mean, that's a quality youth jersey or youth stick as well.
And last year's stick was designed by who?
Dixie Halbert.
Yes, it was.
She did an amazing job, too.
Former president.
She did a really
good job.
Yeah. So we go from the finale to
opening night.
Yes.
This Saturday, 7:15 against the Indy Fuel. And I know from my time with the Iceman, one of the things that Ron, at least he used to like to do, was have everyone predict the attendance on opening night. So, Michael Shockley, what is your attendance on opening night?
Announced or actual?
Announced.
I'll say 77.55.
I am going to say 83. 315.
Ooh.
How about that?
Bridget? I'm putting this out there, boys, that I've won 3 years in a row.
There you go.
Well, Lottie, so. Freaking da.
3 years in a row. I'm going to say, and I have an unfair advantage because I know what our ticket sales are right now, too. So I'm going to say 78.32.
All right. Oh, there you go.
Just barely over mine.
That's the way the
That's
price
how
is
you
right
win.
Is played.
That's how you
true,
win.
Yeah.
That's why I let you pick first.
That's right.
You son of a...
If you went for the sellout, I was going for a dollar. But yeah, and it's against the Indy Fuel. How have the Indy Fuel games been drawing with the new rivalry and them being so close? Have we seen any kind of ticket advance or no, or not just same old, same old?
I honestly, I could not tell you. I don't know if, I don't know.
It seemed like last year they did fairly well, but at this point, I don't know that anyone outside of the Comets moves the needle. I mean, we had a really good rivalry at the Cyclones for a couple of years, and last year they didn't really seem to make a difference. It's to your point earlier, it's not so much about the hockey or who we're playing. In this market, there's only so many people who are coming for the hockey. It's about the entertainment.
Yep.
So attendance is a lot more based on the night of the week and the promotion than it is who we're playing.
Absolutely. So I don't really know. We're hoping to build it.
Yep.
I mean, definitely. We play them 11 times this year. Not all at home, but 11 times. So I feel like over the course of the season, that rivalry is just going to build, and hopefully the fans notice.
It seems like a few of them are weekend games, too. Has there been anything done to try to maybe get like a busload of Fuel fans down here for a game or something?
Maybe. I don't know.
We're not doing that stupid-ass Hoosier belt, are we?
No, but we've been trying to do that with Fort Wayne and Indy. We've been trying.
Don't encourage him, Bridget. It's so dumb.
He just has a problem accepting that anything that I came up with might be smart.
I like a lot of the things you came up with. You came up with this whole show. The only thing I don't like is that Hoosier belt. I even like the Hoosier belt. I don't like the way it plays out. So,
well, make up your own damn belt if you want your own rules.
I did. I made it up the Intercontinental belt.
That's true.
You wouldn't put it in the notes. Yeah.
I'm not doing your work.
This is getting awkward.
This is what
final
all
like
thoughts.
Mom and dad are fighting.
It's all
final
right.
Thoughts.
We'll kiss and make up.
Final thoughts.
Oh.
Next show, next week. Yeah, that's your line.
Yeah.
That's what it says here.
Normal.
And it says DB. Plug IcemanManiacs.com. Iceman Insights and WYIR 96.9 FM. He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster of IcemanManiacs.com. For all of this promotional information and everything else, should you email Bridget McDonald? No. Only do that when you want to complain. But for the schedule...
No!
For the schedule and everything else, you can visit IcemanManiacs.com. Injury transaction news, as well as all of the promotions. Bridget McDonald, I'm not even going to say your title again, director of everything and happiness. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Until next week.
Yeah. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.